KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy, a little breezy, and 61 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Our forecast is calling for to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms this morning, although most of those have now moved well off to the east into central and eastern Iowa. But we expect redevelopment later this afternoon, a high around 78. In the news, a severe thunderstorm watch continues until 10 a.m. today for Fremont, Montgomery, Page, Adams, Madison, Montgomery, Ringgold, Taylor, and Union counties. A flash flood warning continues until 10:15 a.m. for southern Cass, northwestern Adams, and western Adair counties, with anywhere from up to 2 to 4.5 inches of rain being reported this morning. Numerous roads have also been reported flooding due to the West Nottoway River running out of its banks, especially from 730th and Rockport to 740th near Messina. Also, Seattle Road and Tucson Road were reported to be flooding in that same vicinity. And a flash flood watch is in effect from now until 7 a.m. Saturday for Montgomery County in southwest Iowa due to the potential for more rain to be falling in the listening area. And the Montgomery County Emergency Management Agency reports this morning that heavy rain fell overnight as well as strong storms through the area. Rivers, streams, and creeks are running full. Emergency Management Coordinator Brian Hammond advises residents to please be cautious of traveling. He says Nature Avenue between Highway 34 and 220th Street west of Stanton has water over the roadway, so please avoid that area. And always remember, regardless of whether you're in Cass County, Montgomery County, or anywhere else in southwest Iowa where there is water over the roadway, turn around, don't drown. Well, state officials in Iowa got a grant in 2016 to update floodplain maps for 47 Iowa counties, and they're about halfway through the project. Residents will be able to see the proposed updates to maps for Linn County at the open house that was held on City Services Center in Cedar Rapids last night. Jason Kahn of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources said state and federal officials who are familiar with the maps will answer questions from property owners.
There are a number of different websites where people can view the preliminary flood maps for Linn County, but coming to the meeting will allow them to ask questions in terms of whether or not flood insurance would be required, the type of floodplain regulations that may be enacted if there's any new proposed development.
The Iowa Department of Natural Resources manages the floodplain mapping program. Studies from the U of I's Flood Center, along with data collected from research aircraft flying over the state, are being used to update the maps. The maps, which identifies the so-called 100-year floodplain, help determine the rates for flood insurance.
So if a risk has increased on properties and those properties have a loan from a federally regulated lending institution and those structures are located in that high-risk floodplain, then flood insurance is going to be required as a condition of that loan through their lender.
Insurance is available in all communities that participate in the National Flood Insurance Program. The maps help to determine flood insurance premiums.
They are used by insurance agents to write and rate flood insurance policies.
And in other news, as the American Red Cross responded this week to another round of deadly tornadoes, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley was introducing legislation that aims to make sure the relief agency is spending its funds appropriately. Grassley, who chairs the Senate Finance Committee, says his bill would give a congressional watchdog group more complete access to Red Cross records for oversight.
It's a tax-exempt organization. My committee has responsibility over making sure tax exemption is used properly.
He says the bipartisan American Red Cross Transparency Act of 2019 responds to concerns the agency tried to halt a review by the Government Accountability Office and limit the scope of the review.
We feel that there hasn't been enough transparency on the part of this federally chartered organization, and that's pretty important because most nonprofits aren't federally chartered. Very few are.
The American people rely on the Red Cross to respond when tragedy strikes, and it receives federal tax dollars for some of its disaster responses. Grassley says Congress has responsibility to make sure the Red Cross answers questions asked on the public's behalf and is operating up to the standards required during disasters.
The bottom line is the Red Cross needs to share their books with the federal government when they're investigated. And we want to make sure that the Government Accountability Office has access to the records so the Red Cross can't impede government review.
Grassley said the Red Cross has shown an unwillingness to answer questions in the past, and the legislation strengthens transparency to make the agency more accountable to the public. Well, the Exira EHK School Board met Tuesday evening of this week in a regular session during which public hearings were held. No comments were received during the hearings. Superintendent Trevor Miller said one of the hearings was with regard to the fiscal year 2018-19 budget amendment.
The budget amendment was because when we had our bond, you know, between the fiscal years, what year the money got spent and paid in, so we had to just adjust our budget. It wasn't that we didn't have it. It was just that the year that the money got spent and paid was just a crossover, so it was just making sure that we didn't overspend before we had the amendment, because then it's a lot bigger headache to go back and change. So if you do the amendment ahead of time, it makes more sense and the public can understand what it was for, and it was basically to adjust, you know, which fiscal year the bond was being paid in.
The second public hearing pertained to changes for the 2019-2020 calendar.
We're going to start school at 8:10 instead of 8:30. We're adding 20 minutes to our school day just to work on some of our system-wide MTSS approach for K-12 building, and just add additional class time for rigor and relevance for our students. And also it allows us for, in the spring, we're going to do full PD days instead of early outs. We're going to have one a month starting February, March, April, May, to where we'll be able to work on some of our things that we have for professional development for one day a month.
The Exira EHK board also approved 2019 and 20 fees on Tuesday.
It was just we added a little bit to launch account, a little bit to our activity account or activity fees, and nothing major. Just think it was $5, and then for lunch it was 10 cents. So we're also one of the lower area schools that charge for our student lunches, so we're doing pretty good there, and our nutrition account's solid.
And they approved the purchase of a new school bus.
The board is also proactive since they've heard the discussions about seat belts, so we're going to try a bus that has the front seats child restraint set up, and then also the rest of them will have the harness for the seat belts.
And as for personnel matters, the Exira EHK board approved a shared school business official, or SBO, agreement with IKM Manning.
Marie will be leaving. She's moving back to Nebraska at the end of June. So Carly North, who's my school business official up in IKM Manning, we're going to do a 60-40 share. She'll be up there 3 days, and she'll be at the Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton District 2 days. So we can make it work. It's the same software system, and she knows how I work, and I know how she works, so it's just an easier transition, and we can go from there.
Other personnel matters approved by the board include some resignations and new hires.
We had a couple of teachers resign. Our Kathleen Mays, our business teacher, resigned. Amanda Pitson, our K-12 vocal instructor. Jessica Kitt, our first grade teacher. And Kim Linen, special education teacher. They're going to go do other things or go to another district, so those are all approved. And we hired Stephanie Thompson as a paraeducator.
And the board discussed but took no action on a request for the district to join the Western Iowa Conference. Action on that is expected during their meeting on June 11th.
The Western Iowa Conference invited Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton to join their conference. So that was a discussion. I went over the pros and cons and told the board members to sit and talk to different people and get some different ideas. So it was only a discussion item on May's agenda. It'd be an action item in June. We have until June 30th to let the conference know if we're interested or not. So that was kind of one of our bigger discussions.
The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Calls 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.